WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
My guest is stand-up comic Kate Clinton. Her humor is about being a lesbian and a feminist in a heterosexual world. Kate's talent was nurtured coming up through the ranks of the women's movement, playing at women's festivals and conferences. Now she's one of the few openly gay comics who's broken into the comedy circuit. Kate's first audiences were her students during the 8 years she taught high school English. Now in her routines, Kate Clinton talks about issues that no one else does.
Now, when I was in second grade, it seemed like a lot of my friends were terribly worried, very, very worried about the fifth commandment. I was not worried about the fifth commandment. The most terrifying commandment I ever heard was good old number 9. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. I heard that commandment and I thought it had my name on it.
A lot of times what is the mainstream of comedy is essentially the men's experience. I think a lot of times women are just surprised to hear somebody talking about things that we go through. I just turned 40 and I've started to talk about it. And there's a laugh of recognition, almost a relief that women are going to hear somebody talking about getting older without talking about, body parts falling off or sagging down or any of that. I think it's a great resource. I think that, you know, Bill Cosby, every time he gets a wrinkle, he writes a book about it. And I think that women don't hear enough about women getting older in a positive way.
Another subject that you cover that really nobody else does. You talk about how absurd you find the emphasis on phallus size in gay male classified ads.
Yes, and I think it's hysterical because women in women's papers, we're not size queens anyway. And I was in Provincetown this summer, and it was really quite an education for me in terms of gay culture. I've known about feminist culture and lesbian culture for a long time, but it was really my first experience in gay culture. So, I mean, the concept of I don't understand female impersonation, and so being there was just, it was very, very interesting to me. To me, it's like the thrill of, I guess, dressing up like Perry Como and wearing a big pair of boxer shorts and doing some of his old tunes. And I didn't understand it, and I was asked to judge a drag show. Now, the point of a drag show is you go in, and the guys are, they dress up in, you know, to do the woman perfectly that they're impersonating, and they wear the exact same clothes, they make the same movements, they do the same songs. But then they would come out, and they said, we want you to judge this drag show, but we want you to judge it on originality. And I could not figure out what was original here.
You've said that as a feminist comic, that you promised yourself that you wouldn't make fun of other women, but on the other hand, some women are just too tempting.
Too tempting.
Did you really, though, make that kind of pact with yourself, that as a feminist comic you shouldn't mock other women?
I think that women are warned about humor. I think certainly when I was growing up, you weren't allowed to make fun of boys. And so you learned a kind of horizontal kind of humor where you'd make fun of other women or of yourself. I think that's what is rewarded still very much in the mainstream culture, is that women make fun of other women. And so I really try not to, although it is very tempting. some women are just kind of, yeah, you do have to talk about them. But I did make that pact with myself, certainly that I wouldn't make fun of myself, and certainly that I wouldn't really, you know, as a career move, make fun of other women.
I bet there's a lot of women comics who are lesbians but who aren't out publicly. They're not out in the entertainment world. And they probably really wish that they could do the kind of material that you could do.
Mm-hmm. And I think that I have come up in it through a different system. I came up really through the women's music system. And there's a really well-developed network of what we call women's music. So I was able to perform at colleges and to perform at conferences, and a different kind of thing than a comedy club. I think comedy clubs now are very, very difficult and quite misogynist places for women to do their work. And I think that women who even talk about sexuality in comedy clubs have a difficult time, if it's not about dating.
You got started playing to women audiences
at
women's on the women's music circuit mm-hmm. and at women's festivals, at women's studies conferences. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those audiences, first of all, there's no men who are there for the conference. Second of all, there's been a lot of exclusive concerts where men really are not invited.
Right.
But what was it like for you when you started to play to audiences in which there were men present? Were you prepared for that?
I think when I first thought about performing to a more mixed audience, I was kind of concerned. And then, you know, then I thought, God, I taught high school English for 8 years, and that certainly was a mixed audience. And they, you know, they listened. And I really felt that, you know, it was certainly a political decision. And I really felt that it was important to say that I was a feminist comedian, mostly. And you wouldn't believe that people really like to talk to me because they can't believe that those two things go together. You know, feminist and humorist. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a political decision. I made it. And in fact, what's happened is that the audiences are widening. And I think it's what I believe about feminism and is that it's a very inclusive concept.
You're breaking into, quote, mainstream comedy clubs now.
Mm-hmm.
And you're breaking into the comedy circuit.
Mm-hmm.
Comedy is in some ways almost like a men's fraternity. There aren't that many women who've really made it to the top. And I can't think of a whole lot of lesbian feminist comics who have made it to the top.
Right, right.
Now, you probably hear a lot of really offensive routines mm-hmm. in the comedy clubs. If you hear someone, if you hear a man who's doing something you find really offensive, do you say something or do you just let it go? What do you do?
Well, I have found that hissing is very good. And because what you do is you destroy a kind of a rhythm that the person has with that particular line, and that person never does that line again with any kind of confidence. I have encouraged people to do that. It's very interesting when it comes back on you, but I generally try to talk to people, you know, if there's any hope at all, or if I you know, I feel that the energy isn't completely wasted talking to them about what I find that it's really difficult for me to hear that part.
Can your family deal with you being a public lesbian? Since you're a lesbian in your professional work, you know, mm-hmm. it's everyone who sees your act or hears your records mm-hmm. knows that you are. Can your family cope with that? Do they ever have problems with it?
I think they had problems in the beginning. We're kind of a quiet family, kind of a raised eyebrow.
They are.
An
you're
overstatement.
Not.
In my family, I think my dad would prefer if I, you know, I said, Dad, wouldn't you like to come to a show? And he's just not ready yet. He thinks maybe he'd go in Portland, Oregon. You know, he lives in Syracuse, New York, but they're doing well. They're proud of me.
In your routines, you describe yourself as a recovering Catholic. Mm-hmm. Did you go through a long period of guilt for being a lesbian?
You know, I actually went through a longer period of guilt for not being a Catholic, even when I was trying to be one. And because I wasn't real strong in those beliefs, I think it was easier for me to come to terms with being a lesbian than other Catholic women.
Have you done any television yet?
I've done a couple of things. I did a show called Comedy Tonight for KQED, and I did a show in Canada out of Toronto.
What do you think the chances are that you would be allowed to break into the TV comedy circuit?
I don't know. You know, I think that there's a kind of homogeneity about comedy right now because everyone is trying to make their routines go into 6 perfect minutes for David Letterman or for Johnny Carson, and they're not so topical because they need to be able to be played in reruns. I don't know, but I think that what I'm thinking is that it's a kind of a gimmick that certainly no one else is talking about, and if someone courageous or, you know, interested in putting their career on the line, heard me, I think that is a possibility of breaking into TV comedy.
You're performing to different kinds of audiences now. You mm-hmm. perform to lesbian audiences, to feminist audiences, and also to mixed audiences and straight audiences.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find yourself doing different material depending on who the audience is? And do you think that any of the lesbians who are your followers really want you to keep certain material just for them and to not kind of share that with the straight world?
I think so. I think that I call them trade secrets. I think that, yes, women sometimes get nervous, and I'm very cautious about what I say to a very mixed audience. You kind of build up a trust level and you find out how much they can hear, and you go from there.
Kate, thanks very much for talking with us.
Thank you, dear.
Comedian Kate Clinton spoke with us from the NPR Bureau in Los Angeles. Her latest recording is Kate Clinton, live at the Great American Music Hall on Wisecrack Records. This is Fresh Air.